From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Running Through the Pain, the last in this series on Hebrews chapter 11. Dr. Cairns will join us shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's meditation is entitled, The Mighty Magnet. The text is John chapter 12 and verse 32, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Come, ye workers, be encouraged. You fear that you cannot draw a congregation. Try the preaching of a crucified, risen, and ascended Savior, for this is the greatest draw that was ever yet manifested among men. What drew you to Christ but Christ? What draws you to Him now but His own blessed self? If you have been drawn to religion by anything else, you will soon be drawn away from it. But Jesus has held you and will hold you even to the end. Why then doubt His power to draw others? Go with the name of Jesus to those who have hitherto been stubborn and see if it does not draw them. No sort of man is beyond this drawing power, old and young, rich and poor, ignorant and learned, depraved or amiable, all men shall feel the attractive force. Jesus is the one magnet. Let us not think of any other. Music will not draw to Jesus, neither will eloquence, logic, ceremonial, or noise. Jesus Himself must draw men to Himself, and Jesus is quite equal to the work in every case. Be not tempted by the quackeries of the day, but as workers for the Lord, work in His own way, and draw with the Lord's own cords. Draw to Christ, and draw by Christ, for then Christ will draw by you.
People rise up on high.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. As his final message in this series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message called Running Through the Pain. As we've been seeing, the spirit of chapter 11 carries over into chapter 12. The text for this message is found in chapter 12, verses 4 through 13, where the apostle reminds his readers that they have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Again, the emphasis is upon believers not giving up in the face of persecution, opposition, and difficult circumstances. God the Father uses these hardships for a number of purposes in the lives of his people. The Bible makes it clear that Christians face many obstacles as they seek to live for Christ. There are things to be resisted, such as the world, the flesh, and the devil. This constant demand for resistance causes the believer pain. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called Running Through the Pain.
The devil is no more powerful weapon to induce that weariness of mind than this notion that every time we're suffering pain or hardship, it must be punishment from the Lord. That's the kind of mindset that was being inculcated into the Hebrew Christians by the enemies of the gospel. They were suffering under that kind of pressure. And so Paul puts some very basic truths to them. He shows them, first of all, from Hebrews 11, that the united witness of the Old Testament saints shows that affliction and difficulty and pain and suffering are normal for the people of God. That was a big point. Then he comes into chapter 12 and shows that the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself shows us very clearly how to endure suffering with the confident assurance that suffering and affliction are but the path to glory. And then he makes a third point in verse 4 where we started our Bible reading. A very interesting and very powerful point. That the comparative ease which we enjoy should make us all the readier to endure the few and light afflictions which we are called upon to suffer and not give up. He says to these people, ye have not yet resisted unto blood. Now in comparison to the great heroes of the faith whom he had just mentioned, from verse 35 of chapter 36 of chapter 11, they had cruel mockings and scourgings, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. That was their experience. Now Paul says, you have not yet resisted unto blood. Comparatively speaking, you have not had much to endure. And yet you're feeling like giving up. He said, when you think of what God's people have endured for Christ in other ages, you should be all the readier to endure the little light affliction which you are called upon to endure. And then the fourth point that he makes, and this is where we have got to now develop through our thoughts through this passage. He shows that the nature of God's afflicting providences assures us that he is dealing wisely with us in fatherly love. That's the theme of verse 5 through to verse 11, and then it's applied in the last two verses. Now, as Paul works out these truths, what he's doing is to show us how to put faith to its proper use. He has given us the examples of faith. He has said, now, run with patience or with perseverance the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus and considering Christ. Now, as you run the race, he says, this is how to put faith into use and to put it to work. I call this running through the pen. This is what he's talking about here. It's very fitting that he should end his treatment of running the race on this particular note. And I'm not importing it into it, as I'll show you later. Verse 11, he says, they which are exercised thereby. The word exercised is again a gymnastic term. It's deliberately using this same general idea that he introduces of the athletic competition. And it's very noteworthy that having started to talk about the race, now he talks about running through the pen, because every successful athlete always has to learn what it is to run through the pen. I've seen people straining and finishing in agony. Some athletic competition, I saw one woman with a sprained ankle, the tendons or whatever, all pulled. And yet she was gritting her teeth and running to knock 5 seconds off a record. I saw another young lady staggering about like a drunk, ending up in hospital for days. And yet, striving, almost unconscious, but striving on and on, though her body was dehydrated and her brain was hardly any longer in action. Just running through the pain to make it there. And Paul is saying, we have a greater race. We have a greater goal. We have a higher purpose. We have a divine mandate. We have an indwelling spirit from God. We have an example from the saints. We have the supreme example from the Savior. We are going to have our times of pain, physical pain, mental pain, opposition from the flesh and the world and the devil. We're going to have those things. But he says, in effect, looking unto Jesus, with our minds considering him, we must run through the pain. Now he starts off by speaking of the cause of this pain. In verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Underline the words resisted and striving. Now this is why we are so often enduring the pain and the affliction and the suffering that discourages so easily. Resisting tells us we're in a conflict. There are forces opposed to us going on with God. There are forces dedicated to our downfall and to our defeat in this great race in which we're engaged. And he says you are resisting. You're resisting the world with all its entrapments and all its enticements. That's a word that seems to be sort of out of date for what we could call the modern Christian. Modern Christian's way is to get as like the world as he can get, to justify as much of the world as he can justify, to assimilate as much of the world as he possibly can, and to dress it up under the guise of Christianity. That's the modern way. But it's not the biblical way. The biblical way is to resist the world, to resist its encroachments into your thought patterns, to resist its encroachment into your life patterns, to resist its encroachment into your home, to resist its encroachments into the church. Resist the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yet the whole idea of the attraction of the world is to drop our defenses, to destroy our hatred of it, and to inculcate within us something first of a tolerance and then of a love for the world. We are to resist it. We are to be out of step with this present evil age. Now when he speaks of the world, he's not speaking of the birds and the flowers and the trees gazing up into the heavens. They are the handiwork of God. You can use that world and enjoy it. But when you're resisting the world, you're resisting this age. You're resisting the contemporary expression of man's rebellion against God. He says, in effect, this is going to be a cause of trouble and conflict, affliction, if you resist the world. But of course, you've also to resist the flesh. There are many people, and they can resist the world, or at least apparently resist the world, but they are very easy in their own flesh. If you turn to Galatians chapter 5, you'll find what the works of the flesh are. There's many a person who never sets foot inside what we call a public house, an inn or a bar, or whatever you call it here, never gets into those things, never goes to a racetrack, never spends money in gambling, but he's guilty of uncleanness. He's guilty of hatred. He's guilty of variance. Divisions needlessly among the people of God. He's guilty many a time of emulations, wrath, strife. Now these are some of the things that we are to be resisting, and the whole list indeed there in Galatians 5. But we are to strive against the flesh. And of course that is conflict. That is hard warfare. In your mind, in your heart. That is something that's going to induce a real battle. When you have to fight yourself, when you've got to get to Calvary, when you've got to feel the sword of the Spirit put into your own flesh, when you've got to deny yourself. I was brought up, at least partly, in the Salvation Army. That's where I was saved. Salvation Army had what they called self-denial week. I think, to be quite honest, it was a carryover from the idea of Lent. I never really could figure it out, to be quite honest, why they had self-denial week. But I think it was to emphasize, originally, not just that you set aside a week out of 52 weeks of indulgence, you take one and you say, I'm going to deny myself. I think that William Booth's ideas would have been that in this week we're going to highlight the truth that the Christian life is a life of self-denial. When you read the history of the early Salvationists, there may be many things that in their theology you would not like. But you've got to stand in absolute awe of their dedication. You've got to stand with head bowed and shame in your heart when you see those young men and those young women going out into the slums of England, say Eastern London. They'd given up everything. They had no money. They had nothing. But a heart on fire for God. And they were denying themselves in order to glorify Christ. Yes, we're going to have to strive against the flesh. And then, of course, you strive against the devil. You resist him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In other words, everything that opposes our spiritual progress is to be resisted. And that's a cause for pain.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.